Good afternoon, San Diego. This is Vince Scuncio, the attorney's realtor, coming to you live from the ESPN studios on 1700 AM. I want to thank you for tuning in. And today I am happy to have with me my special guest, Kim Warner, who is the program manager for the Divorce Mediation Group here in San Diego. Thank you, Kim.
Hi, Vince. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Kim's a little nervous today, folks, so just kind of bear with us as we get through this first segment, and then I'm sure she's just going to be chatty-catty. So, Kim, tell me a little bit. Kim works with the Divorce Mediation Group, and as you've probably heard on the show before, well, I'm going to let you describe. Tell me about the Divorce Mediation Group, and tell me a little bit about what you guys do.
Well, at Divorce Mediation Group, we can help parties with their full divorce from beginning to end. In other words, from the initial filing of what we call your moving papers, helping you do your disclosure documents, to the end where we prepare your marital settlement agreement and all the other forms for filing with the court. We can also work with you on individual issues, such as maybe just a custody plan you need help with, or maybe you can't decide on what you want to do with the family residence. You need some help mediating that issue. We help a lot of parties in post-divorce issues, such as after the divorce is final and there's a change of circumstances and they need to modify the support or custody sections of their marital settlement agreement. So they come back to us and we help them hammer out a new agreement that's then filed with the court. We also work with family members in any kind of family dispute that doesn't necessarily have to be, that there's not something that necessarily has to be filed with the court. But for instance, maybe grown children and parents are having some issues concerning mom or dad's care. Maybe the children are concerned about mom or dad's ability to manage their own finances and they want to come up with an agreement as to how they'll help mom or dad as they grow older. So we can work with family members in any kind of family dispute. It doesn't have to be only divorce or custody or paternity issues. It's basically if it happens in your family and you need some help with it, we can help you.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a couple teenagers that probably could use some professional mediation sometimes because
I know what you mean.
I'm that hammer parent. I'm the guy that's the high conflict one, and we'll talk a little bit more about high conflict here after our first break. But so, you know, we talk a lot about there's a lot of different mediation seems to be the growing trend in separation and divorce, and I'm a big fan of mediation because I mean I'm the attorney's realtor and all my clients come from attorneys, but I also understand that there's a need for, you don't always need that hammer attorney, and so that's why I personally, you know, endorse mediation.
That's true. The idea behind mediation is what we like to tell people when they call and ask us what mediation is all about is you basically have some choices. Once you make that really difficult decision to pursue divorce, you have some choices. You're going to end up with the same result no matter what you do. You're going to end up with an agreement that's filed with the court that becomes the rules and regulations of your divorce. Your choice is how do you want to reach that end? Do you want to hire attorneys and litigate in court? Or do the two of you want to work outside the court with a neutral mediator or a neutral third party and reach your own decisions? And basically, you end up telling the court the decisions you have reached, as opposed to going to court and having a judge look at you and make your very, very important decisions for you. So my belief is, why not have more control over the end result and do it outside of court? Get it taken care of in a much more expedient manner, a much more affordable manner, and a much more cooperative and civil manner, and finish it up so everyone can move on with their lives. That's really the goal. You want to finish it up in a civil manner so you can move on with the rest of your lives.
What if people can't be civil?
If people can't be civil, well,
because I know that happens sometimes in divorce, not always, but
often in divorce. And I don't mean to say that mediation is a panacea where everyone smiles and holds hands and gets through it
with, sings kumbaya.
With no, yeah, when sings kumbaya. that's not the case. What I tell people is when you come into mediation, a couple things I tell them is check your ego at the door and be ready to work. That's what a mediation session is about. You've come there to negotiate settlement of your issues. Use that mediation time to do that. What I say is you get a bigger bang for your mediation buck if you can put aside some of the personal feelings and come in and do your work and get all those things solved and save the personal venting for later on with friends or family or with coworkers. Work really hard during mediation and you'll get the work done and you'll be finished so again you can move on with your lives. That's really what everyone wants to do. Nobody wants to go through divorce. It's It's nasty. It's stressful. It's sometimes can be traumatic. You want to get through it and move on for you and your, and especially if you have children. You're going to be co-parenting with that person. Why not do your divorce in the most civil way that you can, so you can be effective co-parents?
So when someone decides to, so let's say you have the theoretical couple that's deciding to get a divorce, mm-hmm. right? And they've come to this agreement either jointly or separately. And this is a question I've never asked, is how does that process start? I mean, who calls first? Is it something that they decide, hey, we're going to do mediation together, and they both call, or is it something?
It's as different as there are callers. Most of the time, you know, I get the call from one party who either says, we've already discussed mediation and we want to explore mediating with you, or they'll say, what is mediation? I don't get it. How does it work? I've heard that mediation, then fill in the blank. There's a lot of people hear a lot of false information about mediation. So I think it's really important to educate people who call, people who come to our workshops, about how mediation works. So I'd say it's probably about 50-50. About half the time, the couples have already decided they want to start mediation, and the other half is someone has no idea what it's about. Please tell me about it. I do a little kind of a crash course on the phone with them, and then I leave it up to them if they want to pursue it. They talk to their spouse and call me later to set something up if the other spouse is amenable to doing that.
Got it. And we're going to talk later in the show, because you guys have some workshops that you guys offer, mm-hmm. Not only the third Saturday, but you also have a Divorce Mediation 101 that you guys hold. And we'll go into more detail on that, like I said, later in the show.
Okay.
One of the strategies that you talked about, and this is what, you know, there's a lot of things about the Divorce Mediation Group that is different than most of the mediators I talked to in San Diego. And one of them, when you and I first met and we had talked about, you know, what makes you guys different, is that you have some pre-mediation strategies that I thought were pretty interesting. Could you
sure.
elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. First of all, let me back up just a little bit and tell you about our mediation panel.
Okay.
Our panel consists of six mediators, all of whom are family law attorneys. Several of them are certified family law specialists, and we are really proud to include two very special people on our panel, one of whom is William Eddy, who is nationally and internationally now known as an expert working with high conflict personalities. He's authored several books. He trains people all over the world. He trains other mediators. He gives seminars. He gives speeches. He's a whirlwind of activity, and he specializes in dealing with people who are high conflict, maybe people with personality disorders, bipolar disorders, people, maybe there's a substance abuse problems, and you load that into a mediation, and that just makes the mediation more difficult. So he specializes in working with people with any of those problems. And he's also trained a couple of our other mediators on our panel who are just as qualified to work with those people. We also have retired family court judge Susan Finley on our panel. And Judge Finley was a family court judge for many years in San Diego. And she is now one of our mediators. And her particular passion, or her niche, is helping parents reach parenting plans, or what you might refer to as custody agreements. A lot of times custody is the one point that parents, and it's the one point that keeps the mediation from its completion. And so she specializes in helping parents come up with a parenting plan. She's very wise, she's warm, she's compassionate, she's firm, and she will help parents come up with a custody plan they can both live with. We also offer something that we refer to as pre-mediation screening, or coaching, or whatever term you want to use. And when someone calls me to schedule a mediation, I do kind of a miniature intake. I gather some information. And if I believe, if they say something that leads me to believe there may be some kind of a power imbalance in the relationship, and that can be something as obvious as domestic violence in their past, or it can be something as not so obvious as maybe one party perceives that the other party is either more educated than them, maybe the other party has more information as far as the family's financial situation, maybe the other party is an attorney, or maybe the communication style between the parties throughout their whole marriage has been one of, maybe one dominates the conversation and the other one is intimidated by that person, excuse me. So if there's a power imbalance that may impede the progress of mediation, I suggest some pre-mediation screening or coaching. Again, we kind of play with the terminology depending on the parties. But what that means is both parties meet with the mediator before mediation even begins. And that is a win-win for everyone. Not only is it for both parties to understand the process, but it also it helps the mediator understand what lies ahead. Is there some kind of, is there a particular issue with that couple that's going to be a hot button? Is there a particular word that's a trigger that's going to trigger some anger? Is there one issue that they just can't agree upon and one person is afraid to discuss it in front of the other person? The mediator will be able to determine, do those people need to be in separate rooms? Sometimes we conduct entire sessions with the parties in separate rooms if that's what's going to make the mediation work. So the pre-mediation screening is very valuable to help the mediator and to help the parties. For instance, if you're the party who is either intimidated by the other person or maybe there's been some domestic violence committed against you, you can discuss that with the mediator and work out some strategies. Work out some strategies as to how to conduct yourself during the mediation. A particular way to phrase a question. If there's a hot button issue coming up, how will we approach that issue? And then they can speak to the other party along the same lines and suggest to that party some ways to conduct themselves during the mediation. Because the goal is always make the mediation session as productive as possible. Get as much accomplished during that session as you can. Settlement, settlement, settlement. That's what you want to work toward. And if somebody's coming into mediation incapable of participating in the mediation process, you're spinning your wheels. So what we want to make sure is everybody's comfortable with the process. The mediator kind of has a roadmap for what's coming ahead. So I think that the coaching sessions are work very well, and I know we've experienced that. The parties have said that they feel much calmer going into the first session after they've had a chance to get an idea of what the mediation is going to be like. They get a little extra time with the mediator, and it makes things go much more smoothly.
And maybe we should have like a pre-show show. get rid of some of those butterflies that people have.
Yes.
Yeah. So we had talked about the pre-mediation strategies, and one of the things that you had mentioned before, you know, prior to us being on the air, is that confidential, or is that something that if I'm coming to you to mediate, and I'm getting, you know, I'm separating from my wife, and are we? Is that something that, tell me a little bit about the confidentiality.
Everything in mediation is confidential. We kind of say mediation is like Vegas. What happens in mediation stays in mediation. Because in mediation, what we want to foster is the attitude of brainstorming, creative problem solving. So if you have a mediator and two parties sitting around a table, and let's say you can't decide what you're going to
sounds
do.
Sounds like a joke.
With, yeah,
two mediators walk into a bar.
Two mediators and two parties walk into a bar. So you're sitting at this table and you just can't decide what to do with the family residence. One person wants to keep the family residence. The other person wants that person to buy them out. And there's just no obvious way that's going to work. Well, what a good mediator will do is help those parties brainstorm. Throw out some ideas, even if it sounds crazy. Throw out a suggestion. Propose something. It's always propose, propose, propose. Counter-propose. So what a really good mediator will do is help you do that. But it has to be in the environment where it's like anything that you say in that mediation room cannot be used against you in a court of law. And that's what that literally means. So anything that you propose in mediation, the other party cannot bring up later if you end up in court and try to make the court say, well, they said something in mediation. That's what they meant. Can't do that.
Got it. Well, when we return, we're going to come back with Kim Werner, the program manager for the Divorce Mediation Group. Stay tuned on ESPN 1700. All right, welcome back to Inside Law with Vince Scuncia, the attorney's realtor here on ESPN 1700 AM. Today I'm joined by Kim Werner, who is with Divorce Mediation Group. And before the break, we were talking about what makes Divorce Mediation Group a little bit different. And one of the things that really jumped out at me was high conflict mediation. But before we get too much into that, you know what my perception as a consumer, as a general public, is that if I want... I either have two choices in divorce. I can either get an attorney or I can go to mediation. And you corrected me at the break, and tell me a little bit more about that, because I didn't know that you could go through mediation and have an attorney, or if you have an attorney, you can go through mediation.
Right. They're not mutually exclusive. I think one of the biggest misconceptions about mediation is people believe that if they're participating in mediation that they cannot be represented by counsel, which is untrue. And also the other side of the coin, they think that if they are already represented by counsel and already litigating their divorce, which means they've already appeared in court, maybe they've filed some motions, that they can't then come to mediation. They're not mutually exclusive. Many of our parties who come to mediation are represented by counsel. They can choose to bring their attorneys with them to mediation or not. The only restriction we have is both parties need to agree that there is another, that a third party can be in mediation with them. So in other words, if one party is represented by an attorney and the other isn't, both of those parties need to agree that that one party's attorney can be present. What often happens in mediations is if there's a particular issue that's a difficult issue in a mediation that the parties just can't reach agreement upon, it often is sometimes helpful to have the attorneys present, which seems to fly in the face of the whole idea of mediation.
Right.
But what often happens is when your attorneys are present, cooler heads prevail. And sometimes they can advise their client during a mediation session. In other words, yes, I think this is a good proposal. You should accept it. Or maybe temper their client's anger a little bit with a little dose of reality. This is what we're looking at. If you don't agree to what your spouse is saying, this is what I can see happening in court. So oftentimes having an attorney there is helpful to parties who have had difficulties resolving a particular issue. Now, sometimes there are some very, very fine attorneys in San Diego, family law attorneys. I mean, most of them are very fine attorneys. We've worked with some of the best in San Diego. And what we find is those attorneys' offices will call us and tell us, you know what, our clients are just, they're going back and forth over this. We have another hearing scheduled in a couple of months. We really think it would behoove everyone if everyone came, talked to a mediator, and we all hammered out this issue in one mediation session, as opposed to another hearing in court, filing declarations, filing more motions, doing more discovery. And so what is really encouraging to us is when the attorneys initiate the mediation. That means those attorneys are really, really trying to do the best for their client, save them some anguish, save them some money, and save them some time. So we welcome attorneys in mediation all the time. And so people don't have to bring your attorney. Oftentimes, people will be represented by counsel and then talk to their attorney after the mediation, because you are paying for mediation and you're paying for your attorney's time during mediation. So there's a kind of a double barrel that you're looking at as far as costs are concerned. But yes, attorneys can be any part of mediation that the parties wish them to be. And we welcome their input, because oftentimes it like I said, it does lead to a quicker resolution of some problems.
Now, do you ever have a situation where someone's in mediation, you're like, you need to go get a lawyer?
Well, as a matter of fact, there was a case a couple of months ago. One of our mediators felt that there was a power imbalance, like I talked about earlier. And as a matter of fact, this particular mediator suggested that one of the parties seek legal advice, because that party clearly was outgunned as far as being knowledgeable about some of the financial matters they were discussing. And so the mediator encouraged the one party to seek legal advice outside of mediation to get a better understanding of all the financial matters in their divorce, so she could then come back and mediate more intelligently.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That power imbalance, that's a new phrase for me in mediation.
Yes.
I'll make sure that I tie those in together.
Yes.
Okay. So when we already talked about, you know, people can have an attorney and or not have an attorney, and it's really their option through mediation. Let's talk about the high conflict mediation, because for me, you know, I would think that high conflict is where they're battling it out. I've been in the middle of high conflict divorces where I'm acting as the agent for both sides and selling the house. And as I always tell people, I'm not your attorney. I'm not your counselor. We may not even really be friends. I'm here to help you sell your home and get you the top dollar for it and keep all parties, you know, informed of what's going on with the process. So don't tell me anything you're not going to tell your friend that you don't want the other side to know, and vice versa. And a lot of those can be high conflict. And that's just for selling the home. I can't imagine being in the midst of, you know, two people that are battling out over child support and, you know, and custody and just you did this and he did that and blah, blah, blah.
Right. Now, high conflict doesn't necessarily have to mean that the parties are screaming and yelling at each other during the mediation session. Okay. High conflict can take a much more subtle form. For instance, oftentimes one party may not be cooperating with submitting some documents for what's called the disclosure portion of a divorce. The disclosure portion is everyone who goes through a divorce in California has to do at least a preliminary declaration of disclosure, which basically means you're going to dig up every account statement that you have for every account you have. You're going to list all of your income and expenses, all of your assets and debts. It's a pain in the neck. People don't like doing it. We help them. We help almost every couple that we work with. We help them through that process. What often happens in a quote-unquote high-conflict divorce is one party just doesn't cooperate. And in order for a divorce to be entered in California, both parties have to participate in the preliminary declaration, their preliminary declarations of disclosure. Well, if one party does and the other party doesn't, basically their divorce is on hold. You can't complete a divorce unless both parties complete this process. So that's one way that a high conflict person can throw a wrench into the works. Now, there are instances where emotions are heightened during mediation. I mean, after all, this is divorce. It's inherently adversarial. There are feelings of resentment, anger, fear, depression, sadness, all of that stuff that goes with it. So there are going to be tense moments in any mediation. We have had a few sessions where it does get very escalated. As if a very skilled mediator who works with high conflict parties knows how to defuse that. And there have been times where, and the mediator has every right to do this, you call the session quits.
Right.
And either say, okay, we're finished for today because it's getting out of hand. We're not getting anything accomplished. You both need to take a breather and come back again in a couple of weeks. So high conflict can take many different forms. It can take the form of nasty emails. Oftentimes, I will be on the receiving end of an email from, let's say, husband is sending me an email where he says nasty things about wife. Well, it might make him feel better to send me that email, but I can't do anything with that information. I don't pass that on to the mediator. It's not part of the mediation process. So that's another way that someone with a high conflict personality tends to wreck things a little bit.
Try to manipulate the situation.
Try to impress the mediator. And what's important to note here, Vince, is that the mediator is neutral. Mediators, even though our mediators are family law attorneys, they don't represent either party. They're not your attorney. They cannot give you legal advice. They don't make any decisions. They don't make any orders. So
interesting.
So it does no good for the parties to try to win the mediator over. Mediator doesn't decide anything. But what happens in high conflict cases is that tends to happen anyway. They'll think, if I send this email or if I tell the mediator this about my spouse, the mediator is going to like me better.
Right.
And that couldn't be farther from the truth, because most of the time I don't even forward those emails to the mediator, because the only time that the parties spend with the mediator is during the session itself. Outside of the actual session, all communications go through me.
Okay.
So it's in vain to try to send something to the mediator that doesn't make any difference. So that's another way that a high conflict person operates.
Yeah, I've had that situation, like I said, you know, because my clientele is divorcing clients, right. They're selling, and people just want to be heard, right? So they want to tell you, well, here's all the terrible things that person's done to me.
Yes.
You know, he's cheated, she's cheated, they've stole money, they, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't know how that, I can't put that in the multiple listing service. You know, I can't sit there and say, well, you know, the husband is a dirtbag, so, you know, bring me an offer now. So, you know, so I can understand the high conflict mediation. I definitely see it on the real estate side. So when we come back from the break with Kim, we're going to talk a little bit about some different classes that the Divorce Mediation Group gives. If you're thinking about getting a divorce, if you're contemplating it, if you're in the midst of it, there's some great information coming up. So stay tuned to Inside Law with Vince Guncio, the Attorney's Realtor. All right, welcome back to Inside Law with Vince Guncio, the Attorney's Realtor here on ESPN 1700. I'm with Kim Werner with the Divorce Mediation Group. And Divorce Mediation Group has a couple different informational classes or get-togethers, you could call them, that I think if you're, like I mentioned before the break, if you're in the midst of a divorce, thinking about getting a divorce, just want to really know what mediation's about. Kim, tell me a little bit about the Divorce Mediation 101.
Well, Vince, we have two workshops, one of which is called Divorce Mediation 101, and we named it that because it's basically the nuts and bolts of what divorce mediation is all about. It takes place at our offices downtown on the first and third Tuesdays of each month from 7 to 8. It is a free workshop. It's very informal. We sit around a table in one of our conference rooms, sort of like you and I are sitting at a table right now. I have lots of information to show everyone. It's kind of a hands-on look at the divorce process. What do the forms look like that you file in the beginning? What do they look like? You know, what information do you need on those? We talk about the disclosure process that I talked about before, where they have to gather up all their account statements. We show them a sample of a marital settlement agreement, also known as an MSA. Your MSA is basically what your goal is from the beginning of your divorce. Your MSA and all the other forms that are filed with it are the rules and regulations of your divorce. So I show the people who attend what that looks like. I show them our offices. I show them where they would be sitting when they come in. It's I think of it as a way to demystify the process.
Right.
Because oftentimes people who are just on the verge of making a decision to divorce, they've already decided. It's a very, very traumatic time for people. And ironically, you have to make some of the most important decisions of your life during a time where you're going through so much emotional upheaval that I think the gathering of any information is a positive step. And the fact that they're coming to learn about mediation only shows that they're thinking and they want to make some informed decisions. So what I like to do is just sit there with them, answer all the questions. I do have sort of an agenda we go through, but we vary from
that.
Yeah, we pretty much throw that out the window every time. And so it's just a way to get an idea of what all this stuff looks like, how it works, and just to demystify the process so it's not so scary. Because it can be very scary to someone who's never been exposed to any of this. And just the idea of the forms, you look at the forms that need to be filed. It's just a way to kind of demystify the process, let everybody breathe a little bit, answer some questions, and then they leave hopefully with obviously more knowledge than they came with, and maybe they can make some better, more intelligent decisions with their spouse when they decide how they want to take their divorce journey, because that's a decision they're going to have to make together. Litigate, mediate, what
right.
do you want to do?
Well, information is power. You know, almost all my clients are going through some kind of turmoil. They're either going through a bankruptcy, a divorce, or, you know, loss of a loved one. And you know, where I come into that role is if they're thinking about selling a house or thinking about refinancing their house, whether you use me or not, I have information that I can share with you that at least you know what you start learning, what questions I should be asking and everything like that. This is not a short process. You know, it can be. I know divorces don't legally, they take a certain period of time.
Right.
But the more information you gather up front, I believe the smoother that transaction is going to go.
Absolutely.
And I know I shouldn't refer to a divorce as a transaction, but it kind of is. It's a chapter.
It is. There's a lot of business transactions that take place during a divorce. You're making a lot of business decisions. You're dividing assets. You're determining what you're going to do with that family residence. You're determining spousal support, child support. It is a very, very financial situation.
Right.
A lot of financial questions to be addressed.
So it's called the Divorce Mediation 101. And if someone wanted to get more information on that, Kim, or they wanted to sign up for that, how would they do that?
Well, there's a couple of ways they can do this. They can go to our website at ncrconline.com. They can call me at 619-238-2400, and my extension is 223, or they can email me, there's a lot of information here, at kwerner, at ncrconline.com.
All right, so there'll be a test on that. So
yeah.
What you need to remember, folks, is that if you want to attend this class, go to ncrconline.com. That's ncrconline.com, and that's the Divorce Mediation Group, which is a division of NCRC. So you also have, aside from the Divorce Mediation 101, which I understand is no cost, right?
Right.
So it's a free one-hour informational meeting. It's downtown. They validate parking sometimes. Well, I guess they don't. Anyways, but
no.
Okay, so they don't validate parking, but everything else is free, and I'll buy you a glass
yes.
of water. You also have the third Saturday, which is more of a structured.
That's a more comprehensive workshop that takes place, coincidentally enough, on the third Saturday of each month.
Yeah, how do you come up with that one, right?
I don't know. And that takes place, we have the venue in Liberty Station in Point Loma. And that's a workshop. It's a four-hour-long workshop, so it's a longer time commitment. But what you hear from at that workshop are four divorce professionals. We start out with a family law attorney. We follow up with a certified divorce financial analyst, a family therapist, and then we close with one of our divorce mediators. Each of the speakers speak for roughly an hour. There's a little Q&A between, you know, after each session, a small break between each session. But the idea is to let people know the availability of some professionals out there that you may want to call upon during your divorce. For instance, a CDFA, which is a Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, is very useful if perhaps maybe you have more complex financial issues in your divorce. Maybe you have stock options. Maybe you have some pensions that need to be valued. Maybe you're looking at long-term support, and how does that equal in out with buying the other person out of the family residence. Those are financial questions that our family law mediators, as brilliant as they are not CPAs, they're not financial analysts. So oftentimes what a mediator will suggest during mediation is some of your questions are outside of the mediation venue. What I suggest you do is you seek the advice of a CDFA, get that person's advice, and then come back to mediation with their findings, and we can continue mediating. Perhaps something needs to be valued, a pension. Pension valuations are very complex.
Right.
Family law mediators aren't equipped to do that. So, and back to this workshop that we have. So there are people there that speak, and you can ask questions of them. We have a family therapist, because obviously a divorce is, I mean, like we've already discussed, it's extremely stressful, it can be traumatic, and a lot of people seek the help of a family therapist during divorce. So we have a therapist there to talk about some of the issues in divorce, especially focusing on children. And then our last speaker is one of our mediators who talks about the mediation session and gives different scenarios, answers some legal questions. And it's really a great opportunity to come and hear these people speak, gather information from them. They're usually available after the session to, you know, talk to a little bit. And just again, I believe knowledge is power, and the more knowledge you have and the more information you have as you're about to embark on this, the better off you will be, your family will be, and the outcome will be, because what we want to do is settle and move on with your lives, and this is the best way to do it, is gather info.
Right, and you mentioned a couple times, you know, the balance of power, right, mm-hmm. or imbalance of power, mm-hmm. and the best way to close that gap, in my opinion, is knowledge.
Knowledge, correct.
Right. I know in situations where I've been in transactions where I'm primarily working with the wife who's in the house for whatever reason. The divorce, she's going to get several $100,000 from the settlement and all this mm-hmm. other stuff, has never done anything other than balance checkbook. She's
right.
never invested. She's never, doesn't know the tax consequences, all that stuff.
Right.
And if your primary thought is, I'm getting a divorce, I need to hire an attorney at, what, $350 an hour?
$400 an
you know?
Hour. Right.
I mean, I know some attorneys that charge, you know, $1,000 mm-hmm. an hour. Where you can go to this workshop, and it's nowhere near $1,000 now, I can tell you that, right?
It's $35
See,
for 4 hours.
So for 4 hours, you're paying less than minimum wage mm-hmm. to go to a four-hour
right.
meeting with four different, you know,
right.
very highly skilled, knowledgeable
right.
people.
Right. And obviously, these people aren't going to solve your problems at this workshop,
no.
but it gives you kind of a launching pad. It will help you trigger some very intelligent questions to ask. Maybe you had never thought about, well, what happens with the pension? Or we trade the house for the pension. Maybe that isn't such a good idea. I never thought about that before. I need to look into this. Just gather more information so that when you start talking settlement, whether you do that with attorneys, whether you do that in mediation, you have more information at hand, and hopefully information you'll share with your spouse. That's the whole idea.
Right.
You don't want to play hide the ball. You want to share the information, get everything out on the table, and work towards settlement. If you don't work towards settlement, your divorce drags on and on and on. And what's the point? What's the point in that, in dragging something on that is just so miserable? Just
right.
get it done, get it over with.
Yeah, a really bad date.
Yeah, long, long bad date.
Really long, bad mm. date. All right, so again, so if somebody wanted to attend the third Saturday, would they go to the same website?
Yes, the same website, both of our workshops. There are links to both workshops. You can call me, email me. Anyone can always call me and email me and ask me any questions. I have lots of materials I can email. I've got lists of things. I have articles. I can talk until I turn blue in the face. So I'm always happy
Perfect
to answer
radio.
Anyone's questions. Yeah, I should have my own show.
We might be able to arrange
yeah.
that.
So All right. So I do welcome that.
Very good. And you can reach out to Kim at ncrconline.com. That's ncrconline.com. If you want to check out the Divorce Mediation 101, which again is the 1 hour free class that they hold downtown, and no, they don't validate parking. Sorry for that.
Sorry.
Bad info. Or if you want to check out the third Saturday, which ironically is on every third Saturday. The next one is when in May?
That would be May 16th, I believe.
Is it Saturday, the third Saturday, or was it last Saturday?
We just had our last workshop on April 18th.
Okay,
so I believe the next third Saturday is May 16th.
My calendar's all jacked up, but I would definitely make sure I attend the third Saturday, not as a divorcee, but just an interested spectator.
Yes. And that's another thing, too. You can bring support people with you to these workshops. Couples attend. A lot of times we have couples attend the workshops together, and I really like to see that. It shows a spirit of cooperation if, at the beginning, they're seeking information together. But you can bring, you know, a friend, bring someone, you know, if you're having a particularly bad day and you need somebody just to be with you, bring them along. No charge. Just bring them. We just want people to come and get our information. That's the most important part. That's kind of my mission, is I want to educate, educate, educate. If you need someone there with you, just bring them. Just bring them. A friend, a family member, a sister, a brother.
And where is it located at?
The third Saturday takes place at Liberty Station in Point Loma. The Divorce Mediation 101 takes place at our offices at 530 B Street, downtown San Diego, 17th floor. All that information's on the website, though.
Got it. And again, that website is ncrconline.com. It's funny, Liberty Station, I think, is where I went to boot camp.
Probably. Not anymore, you wouldn't.
Not anymore, you wouldn't.
Starbucks.
They didn't have all that
great
stuff.
Great restaurants.
When I was marching around on the grinder. All right, so when we come back, we're going to finish up the show with Kim Werner with the Divorce Mediation Group. Thank you, Kim, for being with us, and we'll be right back.
You're welcome. The sunlight plays upon her.
All right, welcome back to Inside Law with Vince Guncio, the attorney's realtor here on ESPN 1700. You can check out my website at insidethelaw.org or go to sandiegosmartcell.com. So, Kim, it's been a pretty fun hour. I told you this goes fast. And
it did.
You feeling a little better about the whole?
I do.
All right.
Thank you, Vince.
One of the things that we always talk about when we're talking about mediation is always kind of a cost comparison between, traditional conflicted, or what you would call them, litigation attorneys, and mediation. It's always like, well, this is cheaper than this, and this is better. But one of the things that I haven't ever brought up is the emotional cost to parties and the benefit of mediation to kids. And I know we only have a couple minutes, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Like, in 3 minutes or less, tell me.
Yes. Basically, it makes sense that if mom and dad are handling their divorce in a manner that is more civil and what I like to say sane, that's going to trickle down to the kids. Remember, if you're going to court, if you filed a motion in court and you're appearing in court having something to do with custody or visitation, you appear in court, you're both saying really bad things about the other party. You're trying to make the judge believe your side of the story. So inherent in that process is you're attacking the other person. And appearing in court can be a very, very, very stressful time. It's public. There are other people there listening to you air your dirty laundry. It's just overall just a really stressful thing to have to go through. And for two parents to, let's say they have a hearing at 9 o'clock in the morning and they rip each other's throats out, and then later on that day they have to decide on who's picking up the kids from soccer, or they're going to open house at the kids' school, it just makes sense that having had that event in the morning and then in the evening having to translate that into being co-parents, it just makes more sense to handle the whole thing from the get-go in a more cooperative manner. And again, you know, nobody wants to be going through this, but the fact of the matter is, if one person wants a divorce in California, that train's leaving without you, so you might as well be on that train.
Right.
So the best way to do it is to cooperate and do it in a civil manner, because your kids will feel that. You won't be so angry at each other. And really, if you have children and you're going through divorce, they're the most important characters, the most important players in the whole situation. You want to make sure they feel safe and secure, and that's easier to do when mom and dad aren't so angry and vicious at each other. So it's just another consideration.
And I do see there's been situations where I've seen where the attorneys kind of feed that,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Not all. I mean, there's some amazing family law attorneys in San Diego, and I'm blessed to know most of them.
Yes.
There's a couple that aren't.
Yes.
And, if someone's getting paid by the hour, mm-hmm, to litigate or to...
That can be a motivating factor.
It can be.
And just really quickly, one of our mediators, Sean Skillen, she speaks at Third Saturday every Saturday. And I like the example she uses. She says, remember, when you're going through a divorce, there are four players. There's you, your spouse, your attorney, and your spouse's attorney. And it only takes one of those four to spiral everything out of control. Either more litigation, wasting the court's time, not getting things done in an expedient manner. So you're right. When you bring attorneys on board, you really want to make sure that your attorney understands that you are interested in settling and they're not going to fuel the flames. and prolong the process and just add more agony to it. So it really is important when choosing an attorney to be upfront from the very beginning.
Right.
I want to settle. I don't want this to drag out for 2 or 3 years. I want to help my kids stay healthy through this.
Well, one of the best pieces of advice I got, because I didn't go through a divorce, but when my wife passed away, and I had my financial advisor. He gave me some great advice that to this day, I still use. He goes, at the time, I was not making great decisions financially.
Mm-hmm.
And just, real quickly, I was taking money out of my IRA to pay my bills because, instead of working, because I was kind of shut down on work. And so I was making really bad decisions. And he goes, you're going to have to make some tough decisions or they're going to be made for you. And I see that in divorce as well, because in my situation, I kept taking money out until it was gone. And then
right.
I ended up losing everything anyways. And that can happen in a divorce. If you're not willing to make those tough decisions, right?
Right.
They're going to be made for you.
Exactly. In other words, if you don't cooperate in the process, what I always say, do you want to manage your own divorce and make your own decisions? Or is it going to come, push comes to shove, and you have to appear in court and a judge is going to make those decisions for you? Don't let that third person. I mean, judges, they're brilliant. They're wise. They work really hard. But be in control of your own divorce. Be in control of it yourself. Don't hand such important decisions to a stranger who gets to know you for 20, 30 minutes in a courtroom. Be in control of your own destiny, so to speak. Make your own decisions, especially where it concerns your kids. You know your kids better than that judge does.
Right.
You know those things better. So man up, so to speak, and work through your divorce with your spouse and get it finished so you can move on in a healthy way and in a healthy way for your kids. It's hard to do. It's not easy. Mediation is not easy. You're sitting across a table from someone you're divorcing.
Right.
You're sitting across a table from someone that you're breaking apart from. A family is breaking apart. So I don't ever mean to imply this is easy, but it really makes the most sense in the long run when you look at the big picture.
Right.
So that's what we try to stress all the time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like I said, I've never been through it, but... I have friends, and some of those people carry that stuff for mm-hmm. years. And I'm like, bro, let it go.
Mm-hmm. It's some of it's really hard to let go of.
Because if you can't let go, you can't heal. And
right.
if you can't heal, you can't move on.
Exactly.
It's like watching a rerun mm-hmm. to me. You're just kind of going through the same thing. And you made a comment earlier, mediation isn't a place for you to kind of whine. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what your friends, family, and coworkers for.
Right.
And I'm sure all those friends, family, and coworkers don't appreciate that. They're like, can't you just keep that in the courthouse or can you keep that with your mediator? But kind of in closing, like I said, we only have a couple more minutes here, but, so Kim, National Conflict Resolution Center, you guys are a division of that, the Divorce Mediation Group. Check them out online at ncrconline.com. That's ncrconline.com. You can get a hold of Kim at 619-238-2400. Anything you want to add before we say goodbye to everyone this week?
Just that I just get as much information as you can because you're about to make some really important decisions. And knowledge is power, and you'll be glad that you did. When the dust settles and you're moving on with your lives, you'll be glad that you were informed and you made some really intelligent decisions.
Right.
That's it.
And you guys have some great, they have the Divorce Mediation 101. Again, it's free. Check it out. Take an hour out of your day. If you're going to make a life-changing decision or if it's being made for you, it's probably the best hour you could possibly spend. Go downtown.
We have snacks.
They have snacks. Go to dinner afterwards. See a show. Don't take a date. And then the third Saturday, which is coming up in May, again, that's a four-hour event where you'll be able to talk to a family law attorney, a divorce financial analyst, a therapist, and a law mediator. And you can check them out at ncrconline.com. That's ncrconline.com. And I think that's pretty much
it. That wraps
you guys,
it up.
You guys got a great program. I really do appreciate the fact that you came on my show and tell our audience all about it. You guys got to check out Divorce Mediation Group. And again, if you want to get a hold of Kim, you can reach her at 619-238-2400.
Extension 223.
Extension 223. Sorry, you can always ask.
Who knows
who
you'll end up with if you don't do that extension 223.
So we have a couple more minutes. Anything else you want to add on to it? You want to say hi to anyone?
Well, maybe I'll say hi to my kids. Hi, Elliot. Hi, Jack.
Do your homework. Go to work.
Do your homework. Go to work. Study hard. Be good citizens.
All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in to Inside Law with Vince Guncio, the Attorney's Realtor. We'll see you next week right here on ESPN 1700 AM.
Thank you. Bodies in the sand.